You are listening to WMIE, Bavard's home for the very best in contemporary modern praise and worship music, 91.5 FM.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thanks for joining us here on the Refresh Radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. And, you know, there's an old joke that somebody said, you know, you look like my girlfriend. And they said, oh, do you have a girlfriend? And he said, no, but if I had one, I wish that they looked like you. And Merritt Assembly of God may be the church that you are looking for, and you just don't know about it yet. And so I would like to invite you out to Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street. We exist to be a blessing. And we would love if you chose to come and worship with us. We've got seats available and ministry opportunities, and whatever God lays on our heart, that is where we try and put our resources and time to make sure that we are a blessing to the community as much as possible. And so if you don't have a church, no matter what happened to you at your last church or the church before that or whatever, we would be honored if you would come and check out Merritt Assembly of God as we worship the Lord. And you may find out that it's the best kept secret in Brevard County. And we would love for you to come and be a part of what God is building there. I want to say thank you today to the folks at Treasure Your Landscape, 321-749-1432. They've been in Brevard County. They got 20 years of landscaping business. They're licensed and insured. They can do everything from landscape lighting, water features, landscape repair, design, plant, maintain, whatever your vision has. They can install premium artificial turf, carefully designed putting greens. They can provide landscaping services, paver installation, install and manage your drains and downspouts. They want to transform your outdoor area into a space your family will treasure. They can be reached. They go all throughout Brevard County, 321-749-1432. 321-749-1432. If you like to do it yourself, they also have Space Coast Nursery in their family of businesses. That's at 3880 North Courtney Parkway. Their phone number is 321-452-5565. That's right on Merritt Island, north of the Barge Canal. They're open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, Saturday, 8 to 1. And I can tell you that they are wonderful, wonderful people, love Jesus, and been a blessing to us personally with some projects they've done, been a blessing at the church. And with some projects they've done, and they're just a blessing all around. So they are a great resource if you are looking to do something with your outdoor situation this summer. So today we are going to go to the Gospel of Mark again, the Gospel of Mark, and we're going to go to chapter 12. And I think I'm going to go a little bit back to from where I was originally planning, because there's there's a lesson that I want to share with you from this passage. But it's demonstrated in several different aspects throughout this chapter, Mark chapter 12. So I'm going to begin reading at verse number 18. It says, then some Sadducees who say there is no resurrection came to him, and they asked him, saying, Teacher, Moses wrote to us that if a man's brother dies and leaves his wife behind and leaves no children, his brother should take his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first took a wife, and dying, he left no offspring. And the second took her, and he died, nor did he leave any offspring. And the third likewise. So the seven had her and left no offspring. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, when they rise, whose wife will she be? For all seven had her as wife. Jesus answered and said to them, are you not therefore mistaken, because you do not know the scriptures, nor the power of God? For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. But concerning the dead that they rise, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the burning bush passage, how God spoke to Abraham, or spoke to him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. You are therefore greatly mistaken. Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this, You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So the scribe said to him, Well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth. For there is one God, and there is no other but he. And to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Now when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, You are not far from the kingdom of God. But after that, no one dared question him. Then Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, How is it that the scribes say that the Christ is the son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Spirit, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore David himself calls him Lord. How is he then his son? And the common people heard him gladly. So what we're going to talk about in this passage from Mark chapter 12, verse number 18 through verse number 37, there's three different conversations that Jesus has, three different audiences. And in his, what he does in this passage is he begins to teach the people how to think, not just what to think. Okay, now the Bible has some very explicit statements as far as what it proclaims. When it says thou shalt or you shall, it means you should. And when it says you shall not, that means you should not. And there are a lot of people that they will make arguments that their problems are the things that are not clearly lined out in the scripture. But in reality, their problems are the things that are very clearly spelled out. I believe it was Mark Twain that someone asked him one time, do you have a problem with the things in the Bible that you don't understand? And his response was, it's not the things that I don't understand, it's the things that I do understand. And he was talking about his personal struggles there during that point. So the first of these three conversations begin in verse number 18. And these are questions that a group of people called the Sadducees came and asked Jesus. The Sadducees did not believe in the supernatural. They did not believe in the afterlife. They were among the religious, politically elite, but they were there strictly with a legacy of connection with spirituality, not because it was an actual practical reality. They had explained away, they attempted to explain away everything miraculous, everything supernatural, and there's an old joke that said they don't believe in salvation, they don't believe in heaven, they don't believe in miracles, they don't believe in angels, and that is why they are sad, you see. They did not, for them, everything was here and now. It was very practical. There was no room for the miraculous. There was really no room for God. And that sets up the premise for the question that they ask Jesus. And so they come to Jesus and they say, "Teacher, Moses wrote to us that if a man, brother, dies and leaves his wife and leaves no children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up offspring for his brother." And it describes that the entire family, all seven brothers, had gone through this cycle, and yet there were no children. So you need to go back to the Old Testament to see that the purpose of this relationship was that there was never going to be a heritage that was lost due to not having children. And so if a brother died and another brother would have children, that brother's name would continue. And you can see that taking place in the book of Ruth with Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, and how he accepts the responsibility to raise up children that were in line with Naomi's family, because her husband had died, her two sons had died, and so there was that relationship of kinsman redeemer. So you can go back and you can look at that. Now, their premise here, and again, they're asking this from a false pretense. They are asking the question because they do not believe in an afterlife. So not everyone who asks you a question is going to be asking you from a point of belief. They're not going to be asking from a foundation of faith. They are asking it from a foundation of doubt. And I will point out here that just because a person is alive and then just because a person dies does not mean that they are going to heaven. The Sadducees completely leave out of this theoretical question whether or not these are people of faith or not. And I will tell you that just because you're born in America does not mean you're automatically going to heaven, any more than not being born in America means you're not going to heaven, or because you're not born in America you are going to heaven. All of the superficial things that this world has to offer have no bearing whatsoever on the entrance to heaven. There are a lot of people who they want to ask the question, so if I'm not a Christian, does that mean I'm not going to heaven? And so they will ask pastors, and they will ask apologists, people who are into apologetics and defending the faith, and they'll ask those questions. And I will just say that's not a question for me to answer. That's a question for Jesus to answer, and Jesus has given the answer that in the Word of God. And that is, he said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. The Word of God says there is no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. And so that's how important Christianity is. We tend to live our lives as if there are alternative routes, and that's really not the case. If there were alternative routes, then the cross would be unnecessary. But it wasn't unnecessary. It was very necessary. And Jesus came and paid the price. We should not be looking for an alternative path. Jesus said, people who do not use the door, they don't have noble purposes in mind. And they're a thief. And so Jesus said, I am the door. So you must be born again. The message to Nicodemus in John chapter 3 was you must be born again. The message to the woman at the well was you must be born again. The message to every human being is you must ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and be the Lord of your life. So back to the Sadducees and their question. Their question is, in the resurrection, whose wife is this lady going to be? And I love Jesus' answer here. He says in verse number 24, Jesus answered and said to them, are you not therefore mistaken because you do not know the scriptures nor the power of God? So that brings us here to the question, or to the topic at hand of the day, and that is that God wants to teach us how to think, not just what to think. There's another account of this passage, and it says you are greatly in error. You have erred greatly. You're mistaken. The way that you are thinking, the way that you are approaching is an erroneous way to process the concept of eternity. It is not just a continuation of life here on earth. It is a completely different transformative relationship where it is not about propagating the human race. It is not even about the covenant relationship between husband and wife or parent and child. All of those relationships are wonderful, but the relationship in heaven is all about the covenant relationship that we have with God. And so Jesus describes to them that they are making a mistake, and their mistake comes from two errors that they have in the way that they process their thinking. And the first one is this: are you not therefore mistaken because you do not know the scriptures? You do not know the Word of God. And so you may have heard me talk about this story several times. I wouldn't say a lot of times, but I started out at a Bible college. It wasn't the one I graduated from. I went there for a year and a half. It was getting too expensive, and I decided to transfer for my fourth semester to a junior college. Turned out I had a professor at the junior college that actually was a professor at the other college that I had. And I don't remember what all four of the courses were. I remember one of them was psychology and the other one was sociology. And in one of the classes, there was a question that was asked, and there were some people from a different denomination. And there was a question that was asked, and they gave an answer. And the Bible says that we need to be ready to give an account for whatever we believe. And when they mentioned that, I asked, why do you believe that? And their response was, what can it hurt? What can it hurt? And I remember hearing that response, and it's like, well, if it's not a scriptural response, then what does it help? You know, there are two ways that people go through life, and that is, one, they go through life looking to avoid painful experiences. That would be the, well, it doesn't really hurt to believe this. But the other way is, are you looking to make yourself better? And I can tell you that the more that we come into alignment with the Word of God, the less prone we are going to be, the less susceptible we will be. I'll get the words right here in just a moment, to spiritual deception. Because we evaluate everything by the Word of God. Okay? So it's very important. If you do not read the Word of God, if you do not study the Word of God, then you may find yourself in a position, just like the Sadducees, where you are believing things erroneously that do not line up with the Word of God. And so there are people around the globe, and they proclaim a love for Jesus, but there are some extraneous things in their belief system that don't line up with God's Word. And I've had some people that I've crossed paths with through the years that they believed the Word of God without question, without hindrance. And then a family member did something that didn't line up with the Word of God. And here's what happened. The people, and I love them dearly, they changed their theology to match this family member's experience. And that's the wrong way to go about it. It doesn't mean that you stop loving that person, but you and I, we've got to cling to the Word of God. It is the standard. It is not our emotions. It is not our relationship to family members. It's about the Word of God. We need to realize that God is an expert on all things, not only in the past, not only in the future, but in the here and now as well. And so Jesus tells the Sadducees, you're in error because you do not know the scriptures. And the second reason that you are in error is you do not know the power of God. And that goes to the question that they asked, that they did not believe in the miraculous. They did not believe in the supernatural. They did not believe in the resurrection from the dead. That's mentioned in verse number 23. They didn't believe it was going to happen. So a lot of people soothe their conscience, if you will, by putting up this false pretense that says, oh, well, when this life is over, that's all there is. And whenever you have been told that you were a cosmic accident, that you just happened to evolve, you know, you swam out of a tree and fell out of a swamp. That's the way that I refer to it. because a lot of people say, well, we swam out of a swamp and we fell out of a tree and all of that sort of stuff. And I like to invert them just because it makes just as much sense. It's not scriptural, and it's not practical. They've never been able to duplicate that in spite of all of their best efforts. So, there are a lot of people who've been told they're a cosmic accident and that after this life is over, then that's all there is. And then mysteriously society wonders why there is hopelessness, why there is depression. And depression can be a very real thing. There can be valid reasons for depression and things like that. But the sweeping amount of depression that we see in society is because people have had drilled into them. They came from nowhere. They're going nowhere. And after their last breath, there is nothing. That's a miserable way to live. And so you and I need to realize Jesus has the power to save us. He had the power to create us. He has the power to sustain us. He has the power to forgive our sins. He has the power to equip us for everyday life. And he has the power to sustain that life for all of eternity. So if you know the scriptures and you know the omnipotence of God, whenever I am feeling weak, whenever I am feeling drained, because I walk in covenant relationship with God, my prayer is this: God, would your omnipotence overcome my weakness and my frailty right now? Would your power manifest itself in this situation? So he addresses their fallacious way of thinking, and he says, for when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. Angels are servants. They are ministers of fire. They are anointed. They always behold the presence of the Father. They are there to do his bidding, to deliver his message to his people. Whenever he says go, they go. When he says come, they come. That is what the nature of heaven is like. And that belief system, knowing that there is a day of accountability where we are going to stand before God, either as believers to be rewarded or unbelievers to be removed from his presence for all of eternity, you and I need to realize that day of resurrection power is coming. Hold fast to the word of God, and no matter how unlikely a miraculous result looks, believe it. It's
Thank
coming.
You for tuning
we'll
in today
time.
To Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@Hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Whalen specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Whalen Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit whalenduff.kw.com. Realty.com. Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and the time you deserve to get your real estate purchased or sold.